Accession number 21111, real one.
Vincent Bolter, real one. So, do you know your date of birth?
Yes. 15th of April, 1916.
Right. And where were you born?
You've asked me a very awkward question. Now, after I left the Poplars, I had a sister at the Poplars, but we was never brought
Tell
up...
That's where the Poplars was.
Yes, where the Poplars was. Poplars was where Presteel, before Presteel was ever built, it was on that area.
In Oxford. And it was an orphanage, was it?
It was a big orphanage. There's the photograph, look there.
And when did you go to the orphanage? How old were you?
Well, let me tell you. So when I was, after 7 years old, you moved to the, what you call, the elderly boys. See, and then you grow up and you have to do, you get up at half past six in the morning, and you do, you dress with just your trousers on and, naked to there, and you go down to have a wash. You, before that, you fold up all your blankets and all exactly as you do in the army, which you only find out afterwards. And then, oh, there's a lot, but I'll have to skip such a lot. When my sister left and everything, we decided we'd find out about her family. You've got this so awkward, I've got to tell you. Well, when I was, one day, Mr. Worsley said to me, Vincent, he said, do you know you've got a sister? I said, no, sir. He said, you just come along with me. So he took me up to the front hall, and in the front hall was where visitors come, there was a seat. And he said, now, Vincent, he said, this is your sister Joyce. Now, she's going to stay with us, and this is her mother. So he went away. And when I got there, the lady, who I didn't know who it was, she said, and what are you doing here? I'm not supposed to know you. I'm not supposed to speak to you. You'll get me into trouble. So I walked away. So that was everything. But after I'd been up there for a while, Mr. Worsley said to me, we went in there. He said, Vincent, he said, how would you like to go to college? I said, I wouldn't mind, sir. He said, I'd like to send you to college, but under the circumstances you've been brought up, you haven't got a chance. He said, by the way, he said, would you like to know when you came into the Poplars? Because it was the poor law then, but Mr. Worsley got the name changed to the Poplars to make it all better suited. And he fetched out a register and he said, Bolter Vincent, he said, you came to the Poplars on October the 8th, 1920, at the age of 4 1/2. And to keep you in clothing and food, it cost us 7 shillings and 6p. But as you got older, it became 4 shillings and 6p. Now, I was in the Poplars for 10 1/2 years. See, so, but as I told you, you're not brought as brother and sister because it's divided. No officers, men officers or lady officers, was allowed to talk to one another.
Right.
It was strictly thing.
Right. So where did you go when you left the Poplars then?
As years go by, you began, when you left school, you got to remember what I'm talking about. I'm leaving 10 years in between. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very...
Yeah.
Okay. So when you leave your day school, you had to walk to school with 3 miles from 3 miles back, and there was nothing in there at all. There was no Cowley,
yeah.
no foreign spark, no furnace, no press steel or anything like that. Seriously. And then all of the, then when you becomes 14, you leave school and you becomes what you call an industrial boy.
Right. So where did you go as an industrial boy?
Let me finish. And you become an industrial boy. So one day Mr. Worsley said to one of the officers, I'd like you to fetch all the industrial boys in the dining hall. I want to talk to them. So we all went into the dining hall. Listen to this. We all went in dining, and then Mr. Worsley said, I've got all you boys together because I want all you people, all you boys, to say farewell to some of your mates who are going to Australia, Canada, and other places. And because they didn't have no parents or anything like that, and in my time, they sent them away to Australia and all that. I was lucky. He said to one of the boys, he said, I would like you to say a few words to say goodbye to our friends. So he stood up and he said, and I met him not so long ago, and I said, Frank, I could remember the very first sentence you said. He said, what was that? I said, you stood up and said, on this auspicious occasion, I rise to my feet to say a few words. And then he said, and because I had no parents, nothing like that, they had to go to Australia and Canada and everything like that. Just because they was in a place like that.
Yeah, but you didn't go. Where did you go?
No, I didn't go. I was lucky. Now, Mr. Worsley used to get in touch with the school governors. And he said to me, Vincent, he said, I've made arrangements with the committee's permission that we're going to apprentice you at Greening's cabinet making. He said, but you'll have a month's trial before you start. So you were still living at the Poplars, so you had a month's trial, and then after a month, I was satisfactory to be apprentice. Now, I've got to miss such a lot out again. See, it's a shame.
Yeah, because, okay, we'll do that. So how long did you stay at Greening's?
I stayed at Greening's 4 years. I was apprentice for 4 years.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you do then?
Then that was well, Greening's was a cabinet making, and it was very seasonal. So everybody at that time always wanted to get married at Easter time. See, so the cabinet making was very, very busy from summer till about Easter, and then it was got to go. Before I forget, when you leave the Poplars and you become an apprentice, and all, first of all, they got to find you lodgings. So you go into somebody's house at 14 years old to somebody you don't know. You're not belonging to the family, so you've got to sort of look after yourself. Anyway, after 4.5 years, under the Greenies had to put people off because of them. So they was very good to me because I was one of the last to be laid off. Well, when it came to that, we had to go on to the dole, which was 17 shillings a week, but your lodgings was 21 shillings. So that don't make sense, do it? Living in lodgings, 21, 15. So what we done then, me and another Poplar boys, we decided we'd go and see Mr. Cornish, who was a farmer. And he used to lay people to camp on his fields. So we explained to Mr. Cornish the predicament we was in. And he said, that's all right, he said. Now, the paper mill was, he said, you go through the paper mill, go into the first field, close the gate after you, and go into the second field. So he goes into the second field and he said, you can go there, you can put your tent up and everything. He said, before you settle down, put a fence all the way round. which was just by the river. He said, because I have cattle in there. So we started living in a tent, and we done that from the 1st of May to the 1st of October. And we lived in the tent because we couldn't afford our lodgings.
Right.
Okay. See? So after that, Joyce had left the school, and we got in touch with one another, you know, and so on. And she said to me, oh, Vincent, she said, we've got an aunt, we've got a grampy in Benson, we've got an auntie in Dorchester, and we've got an uncle in Newnham Courtney. So after a while, I said to myself, being in lodgings, I decided I'd go and find out about this. So I got on my bike and I went to Benson. I found out where Mr. Bolter lived. I goes there, finds out, knocks at the door, and this gentleman come out. And he said in a gruff voice, and who are you then? Soon as I mentioned Vincent Bolter, he didn't want to know. So after a while and all that, Joyce said to me, we're going to find out about her auntie.
Can I stop you there?
Yes.
This is very interesting, but I'd like to get to where you joined up in the army.
Well, see, because you asked me where I was born.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
See, well, I can't get to that until I tell you this story.
Well, can you not go to the army bit?
Yeah, right. Now, to the army bit, I no need of went in the army. I was a reserved occupation, but I was in different things. But when they come in and said, oh, we got some papers for you to go to the army, but you no need to go. I said, I'll go. So I went, and I was sent down to Chichester.
Right, let's just start there. So you wanted to go in the army. Why was that?
Well, it's just because of the time of thing. We all young boys, we all young fellas, weren't we?
Right, okay.
It wasn't because I was brave or anything. It was just because...
You fancied it.
Yeah.
So how old were you then?
When I went into the forces, I was 24 to 25.
Right, okay. So what year was this then? This was about...
I went in 19... I had my calling up papers... in 1942, Christmas time, but I had to wait after Christmas before I was sent to Chichester.
Right, okay. So the war was going on there.
Yeah.
What did you imagine yourself doing in the army?
Didn't imagine anything.
Right, okay. So had you been following the progress of the war, you know, did you...
No.
No, you didn't follow the news closely.
No, well, see, when you're working and all that, see... And I got married in 1940, so I had the... If I hadn't got married, I would have... If I'd been in the army, I would have had nobody to come to.
Mm.
I had no parents or anything like that.
Yeah,
so we got married. There's... Yeah,
lovely.
And then...
So what date did you actually join up?
January in the 21st of January, 1943.
Right, okay.
I had my papers in 42.
Yeah. So where did you have to report to, first of all?
I had to report to Chichester, to the East Sussex Regiment. It was the East Sussex Regiment, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So you went down there on the train, did you?
Went down on the train. There was a lot of us all on the train. We was all going down together. And we, as the people off the train going, we realised the people what was left us young lads, we was going in the army. So we decided when we get onto the Chichester station, we'd get out and we'd all go for a meal together. Just as so. We got out of the train when we got there, all of a sudden a loud voice said, come on here, stand here. And we had to walk up the street and go into Chichester thing.
So what was the barracks like? They marched you there, did they?
Oh, we were just strangling. Well, because we were civilians, like, see, we were just strangled up there, like any, you know.
Sorry, can you be careful of the microphone? That's it. Thank you. That's it. just don't bang it.
So you want it a bit by me?
No, it's fine. It's fine. That's it. Just don't touch it. So what was the barracks like when you got there?
We was in Nissen huts kind of thing. Now, this is going to be interesting to you, because being I was brought up into the poplars, I knew how to fold my blankets, I knew how to polish my shoes, I knew how to be straight and everything. I knew how to go to the ablutions and all that. And after a couple of days, the corporal in charge said, hey chummy, he said, where do you come from? He says, I come from Oxford. He put his finger under his nose. He says, hoi, hoi, you're one of them prim and proper fellas then, are you? Lads, he said, if you want to know anything, old prim and proper would tell you. If you want it, just go and ask him. So in from the start then, they called me prim. Then they cut the R out, and I was Pim. And I went right through the army by the nickname of Pim. Right. Never used my Christian name, Vincent.
Yeah. So had you chosen to go in the East Sussex? Did you?
No, it was just you had to be, you were sent down there.
Okay. So when you got there, did they issue you with the kit and uniform straight away?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What did you get? Did you get a rifle?
Oh, yes. See, you go to there for infantry training. That's what you go for. So and I can remember when I had my socks, they seemed to be so big, you tucked them over.
So you took to life in the barrack room quite easily.
Yes.
Did some people find it difficult to be away from home?
Yes, I heard them snivelling and crying a little bit, but it didn't make no difference to me. Because you strip when you have 10.5 years in with discipline.
That's right, yeah. So tell me about, you were living in Nissen huts. What was the food and so on like?
Boy, I can remember my first breakfast was a piece of fish and with porridge on the top. Yeah.
So how did they treat you there? How did you get on with your corporals and whatnot?
I got on all right because I was easy. I was easy going, natural, being in a place like that. You know what company is. You know what it is.
So kit inspections. Did you get taught how the army liked it done?
Well, being at the poplars, I knew how to fold all my blankets up and everything, and
you
I knew.
The cleaning as
so
well.
Yeah, so it was easy.
Yeah. So who taught you how to clean your boots and blanco things and so on?
Well, it came to me being in the school because we done it all.
Right.
We was looked after by officers, which is like in the army.
Yeah. Right. So. Tell me about your basic training then.
The basic training was infantry, infantry training where you had a sack on the ground, you had a rope, you had to run in, then run it back, then there was sacks hanging up and you had to dab into them and all that.
The microphone, sorry.
Yeah. And, of course, we was taught to swear. We never used to be swearing, but you had to go up and swear at him. When you first went up, you went up softly. Don't be such a blinking idiot. Get into it. And of course, they taught you to swear. They taught you to hate, really. Which?
Did you hate the Germans then?
No. Why should I? Now, go on. You ask me the other question, and I'll come to that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you did. Bayonet training. What other sort of training did you do with weapons?
Not a lot with there because I was transferred to the Royal Engineers. You do the infantry training for 6 weeks, and then you're issued out to where to go to. And I went to Aldershot to the Royal Engineers.
Stick to the basic training for the moment.
That is the training. You go from there to the train in an Aldershot.
I've got more questions about your basic training, okay, at Chichester. So you did square bashing, did you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, how did you get on with that?
All right, didn't find anything wrong with that.
Uh-huh. Were they very strict with you? Did people get punishments and so on?
Well, the punishment was what you call jankers and all that. See, so if you didn't wear your identity disc and things like that, if they caught you spur of the moment, then you had to do jankers. You had to go on parade at 6 o'clock, and they used to issue out with whether you done spud bashing or painting blinking rocks with white, and then all daft things and all that. It's only discipline. See, but I was used to discipline.
Did you ever have to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, what did you get in trouble?
Well, I was bringing up the poppers, I was a little bit crafty.
Well, they caught you, did they?
Well, the poplars. Now, when I was up the poplars, we had a prize giver. We used to, and nobody knew what your prizes were for, and it only started late in the. And they called out the most poplar boy in the school, and you don't know who it is, Vincent Bolter. So I was the most poplar boy in the school. So going in the army.
Did you ever do guard duties?
Yes, you
were. Basic training at Chichester?
Not only when I went to Aldershot.
Right, okay. Well, stick to Chichester just for a moment.
Well, you're only at Chichester 6 weeks.
I know that, but we want to know about your basic training. So did you do a lot of fitness training? Did you do PE and route marches?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. How did you take to those?
Easy.
Right, uh-huh. So did you do any boxing?
Yes.
What weight did you box at?
I was 7'4". Now, I actually didn't do boxing at Chichester.
Right, okay, we'll come on to that later. Yes. Then, okay. So what about weapons training? What weapons did you train with at Chichester?
You trained with your rifle, the basic training, that's all you done.
Yeah, and you did bayonet.
Marching and, yes.
You didn't do any other weapons?
No.
No, right, okay.
Well, when you said other weapons, you had a Sten gun, you had to do a bit with Sten guns, but 6 weeks isn't a lot.
I know, yeah. So at the end of your 6 weeks, did you have a passing out parade?
No, I can't remember. I don't think so.
Okay. And then you were told you were going to Aldershot,
that's right, yeah.
So you were going to the engineers?
That's right.
So why did they pick you for the engineers?
Well, when you're at Chichester, you have to go to have an exam.
Oh, yeah.
And you're in a big hall, and you have different things to assemble. And, of course, they judge you on marks. See? And, of course, being I was a carpenter, and then I knew how to put a plane together, I knew how to put a pump together, I knew how to do all this. Of course, naturally. Then, so I was selected to go to the Royal Engineers.
Yeah. Were you pleased about that?
Well, you didn't make any difference. You got to remember, we're young. We was in it, and I accepted it.
Mm. Right. Okay. So you were sent to Aldershot. Did anyone else go with you from Chichester?
Yes. There was another fellow who used to own the public house at the bottom here at the Crane and Thistle. Mm-hmm. And he was at Aldershot with me.
Oh, right. Were you friends?
Yes. Yeah. And when I was at Chichester, I had a friend who was apprenticed with at Greenings. And I met him at Chichester. We was both there at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So whereabouts in Aldershot? I mean, you joined up with who? You were sent to the Royal Engineers. Do you know whereabouts in Aldershot they were?
Well, in the Aldershot barracks, that was Gun Hill, and it was the big main Aldershot. Of course, a lot of it's changed now, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember what date you went there? That was just after the 6 weeks, so it's probably February.
Well, it's about 6 weeks after your training.
Right, okay. So, that was quite different, I suppose, was it, being in the engineers?
Well,
Did it seem different at first when you got there?
No. No, because you still goes with the same lot of things. You still do your train, you still do the marching, you still do all this. So it's only later on that when you, like Aldershot is only like another training place before they send you to your proper unit.
Right. So what sort of training did you do at Aldershot then? You must have, you went on with much of the same, did you?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. And what new things did you do? You did some new weapons there, did you?
We, exactly the same, the weapons, you had your rifle and all that, you only done the more advanced training, that's all, for the infantry.
Right, did you do route marches?
Yes.
Yeah, where did you go to? Did you go long distance?
Yeah, well, at Aldershot, there's all the you know, it is a military, big military place, so you went all around different places and all that.
So you were running around the...
Yes, where yeah. So you got to remember them times ago. I told you, I'd forget different places.
Yeah, oh yeah. So did you do any schemes or manoeuvres while you were at Aldershot?
Such as what?
Well, I don't know, some exercises or, you know, with...
Yes, well, we done what we called... first of all, you was on Pride and they took you out to build, and there was a big wall and you had to carry your rifle. The first thing, you had to jump over this wall with the thing. Then you crawled along and then you went underneath a net. You crawled underneath a net. Then you came to a big, like, plank and you had to run along that plank and jump into a big place with all sand in. And then you done, or they fired blanks, but they told you it was lies, but it wasn't. But you only know that afterwards. And then you go along, and then you finish, and then you go along, walk along a rope bridge across the river. No, first of all, you go on a rope and you swing across the river. And if those who are not used to it, not naturally goes in, but then you go walk across the river. And that's one of the trainings you've done.
So when did your engineering training start? They started teaching you something specific there at Aldershot, did they?
No, not when you learn the Royal Engineers is when you're posted to a proper company.
So how did you get on at Aldershot? Was it comfortable there? What sort of barracks were you in?
Well, we slept on the floor. We didn't have anything, you know, we didn't have any beds or anything.
Really?
No.
Were you in huts or...?
It was in the building, yes, because it's all pool day now.
Yeah.
But then in the mornings you had to polish your floor where you slept on.
Did you sleep on a palliasse or...?
Just a palliasse, yeah.
Uh-huh. What did you think of that?
Didn't make no difference being brought up like I was. Yeah. As I told you, the first few, it became easy.
Yeah. So how did you get on with your corporals and your sergeants at Aldershot?
Well, I got on all right.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember them?
I remember one fellow, and he was a coloured man.
Really?
Yes.
That's quite unusual, I think.
Yes, he was a coloured man instructor. And, of course, after your training and all that, you all get together and talk, and he told us that all his mother and father and all that was white, but he was a throwback from years ago. And that's how we, yeah.
Yeah, and he was an instructor.
He was an instructor at Aldershot.
Yeah. Was he a nice chap?
Yes, well, as sergeants are.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the officers there? Did you see much of them?
Not at Aldershot, I can't remember, no. Right. Well, you don't have time. Well, you don't get in touch with your officers.
That's it. Okay. Vincent Bolter, end of reel one. Vincent.